This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. 50 years ago this week, a Texan enlisted one of the most powerful forces of capitalism in his campaign to retain his position as leader of the free world. The Texan was Lyndon Baines Johnson. The force was Madison Avenue. The result was a one-minute political advertisement that ran only once, but American politics would never be the same again. The story is told most elegantly by Robert Mann of LSU in a piece just published at Politico. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. So good to be with you.
On the night of Monday, September 7th, 1964, this ad ran. It was an innocent little girl plucking flower petals in a field.
One, two, three, four.
Four, three, two, one, zero.
These are the stakes. To make a world in which all of God's children can live, or to go into the dark. We must either love each other, or we must die.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
So who actually saw this ad? I mean, people say that they saw it, but how many people actually saw it?
Yeah, you know, I think probably 100 million people saw that ad that week. At least 50 million people saw it the night that it aired on NBC in the midst of Monday Night at the Movies. That was a big popular show, and a lot of people were watching. And then all three television networks aired it in its entirety in their newscast later in the week. So I estimate, it's hard to put an exact number to it, but I estimate about 100 million people saw it that week at least once or twice, depending on if they were watching both programs. That's a huge audience for 1964. That's, you know, about 60, 70, 80% of the electorate watched that spot, depending on what your estimate is of exactly the number of people who saw it at least once.
Was this the result of some calculated genius on the part of Doyle Dane Birnbach, which, you know, the ad agency that created this?
Yeah, I think they were geniuses. They were certainly advertising geniuses. They had produced the spots for Volkswagen, which rehabilitated this car, the VW Beetle, which had been commissioned by Hitler, and turned it into what it was beginning to become was an American icon.
Wait a minute, this was the Think Small campaign, right?
Yes, they produced the Think Small campaign, which as I think is still regarded as the best advertising campaign in the history of Madison Avenue.
But unless I'm mistaken, they had never done any political work before, right?
This was the first presidential campaign they did, and really the last one. They briefly worked for Hubert Humphrey in 1968, but it really was an ad hoc political ad agency that DDB put together on a floor of their building that they dedicated to the campaign. They collected a group of people and had them work on the presidential campaign for about a year, and then they all went back to working for the various clients who were the firm was representing, trying to sell products for. But it was not a firm that was known for politics. It was not a firm that really cared about really becoming known for political advertising. It was a passion for the people who worked on it, because most of them were committed Democrats and were very much for Lyndon Johnson. But it was the first time that the creative principles of Madison Avenue had been brought to bear on a presidential campaign in a way that really made a difference.
This really does sound like an episode of Mad Men. I mean, where you're basically taking these forces that you've used on television to peddle a lot of products, and now you're putting them to work to actually change the political character of the nation, or at least to push it or move it in a particular direction. But what was it about these ads that introduced something new? I mean, it seems like if you just look at the Daisy ad, you're talking about, I guess, the fear factor, really.
Yeah, what I think it was beyond the production quality, which was really good, and which was also fairly new in political advertising. Beyond the way that they sparkled in their quality of production was the way that the spots didn't try to do a hard sell of Lyndon Johnson. It didn't they didn't try to give a lot of information to the voter. They sort of took the same approach to the election as they did to selling Volkswagens, that the viewer already has a lot of information, And we don't need to give them a lot of information. We need to give them context for the information they have. We need to put them to work. We need to get them to supply part of the message. And that's what one of the brilliant aspects of the Daisy Girl spot was that they never mentioned Goldwater's name, never showed his image. And because they didn't need to, because the audience already had a lot of information about Goldwater's reckless positions and statements on nuclear war and nuclear weapons. And they weren't trying to give the viewer anything new. They were trying to use what the voter already knew.
But what makes this really transformative is how you see echoes of this, sort of the dog whistle effect, perhaps you could call it, in what would happen in political campaigns later. For example, I think it might be possible to draw a very clear line between the Daisy ad and, say, something like the Willie Horton ad in 1988.
One was Willie Horton, who murdered a boy in a robbery, stabbing him 19 times. Despite a life sentence, Horton received 10 weekend passes from prison. Horton fled, kidnapped a young couple, stabbing the man and repeatedly raping his girlfriend. Weekend prison passes. Dukakis on crime.
Yeah, I think in many ways, in one respect, I think the Willie Horton ad is very similar to Daisy, not only in the way that it generates fear or plays on the emotion of fear, but also in that the Daisy Girl spot became a news story, became a news sensation, and Willie Horton, those Willie Horton spots became a part of the news. They made news. The message was carried by the news media in a way that gave it more credibility than it could have gotten on its own.
Does this also sort of herald the rise of the importance of money in politics? I mean, when you think about where that money goes, it largely goes to TV advertising.
Yes, it does. And absolutely. As the 60s went on, television became more important. I mean, the penetration of television into the homes of Americans was growing just by an incredible rate, and really by 1964, just about every home in America had at least one television. What was different about this Daisy Girl spot and the ones that followed it that year was that it introduced the idea of spot advertising. Some people forget that until 1964, the way that presidential candidates mainly advertised on television was preempting television shows and giving 30-minute speeches, which were pretty boring and sent viewers to other networks to find something more interesting to watch. This showed that spot advertising could be really effective, not just in selling soap and soup, but also candidates. And so the political candidates in the next presidential election and other elections around the country thereafter realized, okay, this is the way we reach voters, and this is how we do it.
Robert Mann is a former U.S. Senate aide and professor of mass communication at Louisiana State University. He's also author of Daisy Petals and Mushroom Clouds, LBJ, Barry Goldwater, and The Spot That Changed American Politics. Professor Mann, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
For Texas Standard, I'm David Brown.